Let's read together John 8, verses 21 through 30. In this section of John 8, the Lord Jesus tells the self-righteous Pharisees and the people listening to him that if they did not accept him as their Messiah, they would die in their sins. John chapter 8, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, because he says, Where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. First of all, let's consider some background notes for this section of John chapter 8. Remember, the setting for this section of John chapter 8 is the temple courts in Jerusalem. It seems that it was soon after the Feast of Tabernacles, about 6 months before the crucifixion. The Lord had declared that he was the light of the world, one of the great I am statements in the Gospel of John. Look back at verse 12 of this chapter. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees rejected and refuted that statement, and they continued to refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. Now in the verses before us, the Lord continues to preach to these self-righteous Pharisees as well as the people who were gathered there in the temple courts. The Lord continued to press home the truth that he had come from heaven and that he was going back to heaven. He continued to stress that God was his Father and that he and the Father were together. Look at verse 29 once again. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And the Lord continued to make the claim that he was God. Verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, or I am, you'll notice the he is in italics. I am. This is the divine name for God coming right from the Old Testament. Remember, the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush as I am. So this is a claim to deity. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The same is true in verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, or I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. There it is again, the claim to deity. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. You know, we said there were 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John with the predicate. You know, I am the bread, I am the door, and so forth. There are 7 of these I am claims to deity, 7 I am statements without the predicate, just I am in the Gospel of John. 3 of them are right here in chapter 8. We've just looked at 2 of them, verse 24 and verse 28, and of course the well-known one in verse 58, where the Lord said, Before Abraham was, I am. Clearly, the Lord claimed to be fully God. Now, when the Lord used the term lift up here in verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. We once again here catch a glimpse of our Lord's omniscience. For sure, he was referring to his coming crucifixion. But probably he was also referring to his resurrection and ascension and exaltation. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. When the Lord was lifted up, how would they know then that he was God? Well, think of the events that took place at the time of the Lord's crucifixion. There was the earthquake. There was the 3 hours of darkness. There was the rending of the veil in the temple from top to bottom. Even the Roman centurion at the cross said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Let's move now to our doctrinal points or teaching points for this section of John chapter 8. Doctrinal point number one, there is no second chance for salvation. There is no second chance for salvation. In verse 21, the Lord said to these unbelieving Jews, "I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." After his resurrection and return to heaven, these unbelieving Jews would not only not be able to find his body, but they would never find their Messiah. They would die in their sin. And again in verse 24, the Lord said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Notice what the Lord did not say. He did not say, "Well, after I'm gone, you will get a second chance because you didn't really understand me. You thought that when I said back there in verse 21, where I go, you cannot come, you thought that I was talking about suicide," as they conclude there in verse 22. "And you didn't understand my claim to deity, even though I belabored the point from the beginning." Verse 25, that's what he says, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. "So because of your ignorance and because of your misunderstanding, you'll get a second chance." Did the Lord say that? No way. You will die in your sins. There is no second chance for salvation. Some people today think that they will get a second chance when they die. That's not what the Bible teaches. To die in your sins means that you not only die physically, but you die eternally separated from God. Notice the problem is both sin, singular, verse 21, you will die in your sin, and sins, plural, verse 24, you will die in your sins. Sin refers to our sinful nature, indwelling sin. Sins refers to the fruit of that nature, the evil deeds. Apart from Christ and salvation, a person will be eternally separated from God because of sin and because of sins. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after this, the judgment." There is no second chance for salvation. Doctrinal point number two. There is no second way of salvation. There is no second way of salvation. Look again at what the Lord said here in verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." The Lord is telling them that if they did not believe that he was God, that he was the God of the Old Testament and the promised Messiah, they would die in their sins. There was no second way of salvation. God was the only one that could redeem them, and he was God. Jesus is God. There is no other way. God's way of salvation was through the Messiah, and Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He had claimed to be God, and he had claimed to be the Messiah from the beginning. That's what he's saying in verse 25 when they say, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning." But they would not believe. Therefore, they would die in their sins. There is no second way of salvation. All roads do not lead up the same mountain. I'm sure you've heard unbelievers use that illustration before, right? That's not what the Bible teaches. There's only one road that leads up the mountain, and that's Christ. All other roads lead down to destruction. They may be pleasant roads. They may be scenic roads. They may be well-traveled roads. But they do not lead up the mountain. There is no second way of salvation. We have two practical applications from this section of John chapter 8, one for unbelievers and one for believers. Let's start with the application for unbelievers. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Now, I'm sure you've heard that expression before as well. It's used all the time, but it comes from the space program and the necessity to launch when orbits and positions are just right for what the mission is to accomplish. Miss the window and the opportunity is lost. Well, the same is true in reference to becoming a Christian and receiving salvation. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Right now, according to God's word, as we've seen here in John chapter 8, you cannot go to heaven. Verse 21, if you're not a Christian, you will die in your sins. And the Lord says, where I go, you cannot come. And verse 23 says, if you're not a Christian, you are of this world. You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And if you miss your window of opportunity of receiving Christ, you will die in your sins. Once again, there in verse 24. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Believers die in the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 13. Unbelievers die in their sins. I urge you this morning to receive Christ. If you're not a Christian, this is your window of opportunity. Don't die in your sins. Don't miss your window of opportunity. Practical application number two, and this is for believers. Don't unload everything at once on the unbeliever. Don't unload everything at once on the unbeliever. In verse 26, the Lord said, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. The Lord could have presented them with much more truth. He could have come down on them much harder. But as we see here in verse 26, he was sensitive to the direction and timing of his heavenly Father. We too need to be sensitive in these areas as well. Don't unload everything at once on the unbeliever. Illustration. Let's say you're beginning to build a relationship with a new neighbor who's not a Christian, or someone you work with who's not a believer. Don't feel you have to unload everything on them all at once. The Lord didn't hear, right? Don't feel you have to unload the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of election, all at once on the unbeliever. That would not be wrong. These things are true. But I think we need to follow the example of our Lord as we see it here. He was sensitive to the direction and timing from the Father. We too need to be sensitive to God's direction and timing as we present the truth to unbelievers. Don't unload everything at once on the unbeliever.